Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We have a cold front moving through the area right now. It's going to bring a very nice end to the work week here for us as we head into the weekend. We'll talk about, though, if we have any rainfall to come along with that coming up.
Today, police in Raleigh are releasing new details about a weekend shooting just ahead. How data shows that crime has increased by more than 2,000% in the area where that shooting happened.
And breaking news this morning in Russia, Vladimir Putin's top critic has died suddenly in prison. What we are learning about the death of Alexei Navalny.
Plus, we are now working to get more information from Goldsboro police about an investigation happening there. What we know about the large presence of police officers right near an apartment complex. Trying to get to the bottom of that. A lot of news happening locally and globally. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Thanks for joining us. We'll get to that in just a second. But first, we have to talk about our Friday forecast. I mean, it's serene
Not
in Dix
bad.
Park right
Not
now. It's
bad.
Beautiful. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione tracking the temperatures. Here in Raleigh, we're a little close to 50 degrees. Not bad.
Yeah, not too bad for us to start this Friday and still technically winter. So we're not too bad out there. We have a little bit of cloud cover, though. Actually, a lot of cloud cover here over the Durham area. That's kind of scooting in across the triangle. I do think we will see some sunshine today, though. Some spots this morning have already seen that, but it's just going to be a mixture, kind of like what we have there on our Durham camera. 46 there in Raleigh, Durham 39 in Roxborough, close to 50 in many areas, 43 in Clinton, but it is still a little bit cool. You're going to want to have at least a sweatshirt or a jacket, something to keep you comfortable here this morning. When we talk about the weekend, it is going to be cooler temperature-wise, 51 tomorrow, 52 on Sunday, dry the majority of the time, though. The only chance we have there for some rainfall would be after midnight tonight and before about 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. So it's going to be kind of a hit or miss window within that time period. Otherwise, it's going to move on out. 20% chance, that's it for our Saturday. Again, just tomorrow morning, we start to clear on out the next couple of days after that. There's another system, though, into next week that could bring some more rain and warmer temperatures. We'll talk about that here in a few, Brian.
It's 8:02 right now, Anthony. We've been watching a couple of crashes this morning in Raleigh. First of all, still tracking this one on Pool Road at Caria Drive, which is not too far from the 440 interchange. Still seeing a little bit of a delay through that area as they work to clear it. On the north side of Raleigh, we've seen some improvement on Wake Forest Road, right around the Falls of Neuse Road intersection there. An earlier crash appears to have been moved into a parking lot. Sensors indicate that traffic's flowing freely in both directions. There's a report of a hit and run on Newbern Avenue, not too far from Sunnybrook Road. Not seeing any big delays with that one. Also a minor crash reported on St. Mary's Street in Garner. And right now, at least, it looks like traffic's flowing freely through that area. Tracking some backups coming in from Wake Forest this morning on southbound Capitol Boulevard. We're measuring about an 8 to 9 minute delay from 98 down to the 540 interchange. Still watching traffic on I-40 in South Durham. It's been flowing pretty well on those eastbound lanes between Chapel Hill and 885. No delay showing up right now on the sensors. If you're getting ready to head out, remember, turn us on the radio in the car at 99.3 FM in Raleigh, 96.5 FM in Durham.
The breaking news we're following this morning. Alexei Navalny, the most outspoken critic of Russian President Vladimir Putin, has died in prison. The country's state media reported his death within the last hour. Navalny spent his final months behind bars after being convicted of extremism. Russia's prison service says he died today after he felt unwell on a walk and then lost consciousness. He was 47 years old.
And back here at home, we are following breaking news out of Goldsboro, working to learn why police were on a scene on Hollowell Street. This is video from the WRAL breaking news tracker last night around 11:30 as investigators collected evidence. You can see around a dozen shell casings and markings there on the ground of the apartment complex. We are working to learn what exactly happened and if anyone was injured.
Today, we're expected to learn more about what led a Raleigh police officer to shoot someone on Rock Quarry Road. Three other people were also hurt at that scene Saturday night. WRAL's Kelsey Coffey joins us live this morning from the Raleigh Police Department. Police reports, Kelsey, show that there have been a huge number of calls within the last year right at that area where this happened.
Jeff, ridiculously out of control. That's how one neighbor describes crime in that area where the shooting happened. This Raleigh police station is actually just less than 10 minutes away from there. Today, Raleigh police will release a 5-day report on that incident. This is video from the scene now. Raleigh police received a call about gunshots on Rock Quarry Road Saturday night. An officer saw a man with a gun in the parking lot where they started investigating. That officer shot the man. Police didn't provide a lot of details on exactly what led up to the shooting, but they say three more people were hurt at the scene. There's been an uptick in crime in this area. WRL data trackers dug into the numbers. Crime is up 2,700% over the past 5 years in that section of Rock Quarry Road. We'll find out more information about what led up to Saturday's shooting in today's report. We'll keep you updated when that report is released. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News, live in Raleigh.
A somber night in Kansas City as people came together for a candlelight vigil to show their support for the victims of the Super Bowl parade shooting. 22 people suffered injuries in that shooting. One person was killed. Her name, Lisa Lopez Galvin. She was a popular DJ in that city. At least half the victims are younger than 16, the youngest just 8 years old.
Investigators are still examining bullets and shell cases left behind at the scene of that shooting. They believe the shooting started with a fight, and we know that two teenagers are in custody, but as of this morning, no charges have been filed.
NC State Police are looking for a man who entered a campus library and said he had a gun in his backpack. It happened on Tuesday. Staff were told about an older man who set off the metal detector at D.H. Hill Library. When stopped, he said he had a gun in his backpack. He then left and officers couldn't find him. He was wearing a cream-colored jacket. If you know anything about this, you should call NC State Police.
A step forward in the pay dispute for Durham Public Schools. The school board is giving workers a greater voice in future decision making. The board decided to develop a work group to iron out details of a meet and confer policy. This will include board members and administration, members of the Durham Association of Educators, and some not represented by that organization. The board pressed the DAE on its sick outs over pay, leading to several days of canceled classes. The DAE say they did not coordinate the most recent protests.
This policy that's being presented and the collaboration on this policy being presented can help reinforce for workers that are willing to come to the table and not the ones that choose to not participate in the conversation.
Transportation support staff were supposed to speak at this work session, but they walked out midway through, claiming the DAE doesn't represent them. Members will be appointed to the work group February 22nd.
Students at Holly Ridge Middle School saw a heavier police presence on campus Thursday after a voicemail threat was made against the school. Nobody was hurt. The message was left on the school's main line. The Holly Springs Police Department is investigating.
A juvenile is in custody after a school resource officer found a gun in the parking lot of Douglas Byrd High School. The Cumberland County Sheriff's Office tells us this was the weapon they found in that car at the school. Staff reported someone sleeping in that car yesterday, and when the SRO approached, he noticed a gun in the pocket of the person. Turns out the person was under 18. A petition has been filed and charging them with possession of a firearm on school campus.
Happening today, we'll learn more about a new battery manufacturing facility in Morrisville. Forge Battery is holding a town hall to announce the plans. It'll include an overview of the timeline and the number of jobs it'll create. The town hall will begin at 10 a.m. at Wake Technical Community College's RTP campus.
Early voting for the March 5th primary is underway. You can cast your vote early until March 2nd. There have been some changes to voting laws since the last time people cast their ballots, and be sure you have your driver's license with you or another form of photo ID. If you're voting absentee by mail, you must include a photocopy of your ID or explain why you don't have one. Also, you'll probably see more partisan poll watchers in the voting area. They are allowed to move around more than they used to. And we also have all the information you need to know before you head to the polls. Visit WRAL.com or our mobile app to find the WRAL voting guide. And there you can find polling locations, times, and a sample ballot for you.
Coming up, filling a critical need in war-torn Gaza, how a small factory is stepping up to help parents of small children.
Plus, a new international competition is in the works. It encourages athletes to use banned substances. I'll tell you how organizers plan to lure people to take part in these enhanced games.
Yeah, we are watching a fairly calm forecast as we head through today. A chance of some light rainfall, though, into tonight and tomorrow. We're going to walk through this specifically on Futurecast and help you plan out the weekend here right after this break.
A12 is the time right now. Beautiful look, Southern Pines, Longleaf Golf and Family Club right there. I don't see anybody making their way down the ninth fairway right there. Soon enough, though, it'll be on for today because our temperature's going to be just fine out there. Anthony Baglione is in the WRO Severe Weather Center right now. A different kind of view behind you there. Maybe some boating later.
Yeah, a little cloudy out there for us right now. But I think as far as temperatures, Jeff, you mentioned, we are going to start to warm up through the day itself. I think people likely will head out to the golf course. Maybe it's still a little cold here for the water. But nonetheless, it is very still. Maybe you're going fishing. First of all, that sounds like a nice relaxing afternoon. We look at the clouds, though. They will stick with us here in a large part through the day. I do think, though, like we've seen here over the past hour or so, we'll still get some sun peeking through. Not straight sunny, not straight cloudy for us. It's kind of that in-between that we're going for today. 46 is where we currently sit. Raleigh, Durham, 45 in Goldsboro, and Rocky Mount, 41 in Roxboro. Everyone is still a bit chilly here this morning. We're about 10 to 15 degrees warmer, though, than where we were this time yesterday. What that's saying is we have a slightly milder air mass in place, and then it's going to go back down here as we head into the weekend. So whatever you're planning to do today, if you need to take the dogs out for a walk, 57 at noon. We're at 58 by the time we get closer to 1. Into this afternoon, most of us topping out close to, if not at, 60 degrees. So that should feel pretty good. And again, a little bit of sunshine. We take us ahead. Here's 8 o'clock this evening. Any dinner plans or if you're enjoying your Friday evening should be just fine. No problems weather-wise. We get to midnight, though, and this looks like it potentially is a brand new run coming in as I'm speaking with you. So that's good news. I can bring that right to you. Here's 4 o'clock tomorrow morning. It still keeps it mainly north of the triangle. No major changes with that one, and it gets it out of here actually potentially a little bit quicker. So this is not going to be a major system for us. Consistency is what we like to see here when we look at the weather models and forecasting. That one has been very, very consistent, showing a quick batch of some light rain. It gets on out of here, and the majority of the weekend we are looking good. 59 for us as we head through the rest of today. 30% chance of those areas of rain tonight. 20% early tomorrow morning. The rest of the weekend, you can rest easy. We're looking good. 51 on Saturday, 52 on Sunday. It may be just a little bit brisk in some areas tomorrow with the wind coming probably out of the northwest at about 15 to 20. Good though for Cupid's Run tomorrow afternoon, 2 o'clock in Durham, 50 degrees. It may feel like the 40s. So just a little bit chilly here for everyone headed out for that. 51 tomorrow. We're at 52 on Sunday. President's Day, we go close to 60. Again, lots of sunshine. And then we continue temperatures to climb close to 70 by the time we get into Thursday. It will though come with a chance there, Brian, of some more rainfall Thursday night.
Anthony, here at 8:15, some good news. That earlier crash on Pool Road near 440 appears to be largely cleared at this point. I'm not seeing any delays with that. A few lingering problems around Raleigh with a few crashes reported, but as far as we can tell on the sensors, they're not causing any big problems. And with our latest live update of those sensors, those backups we've been tracking coming in from Wake Forest also have disappeared. So traffic's flowing pretty freely out there in Wake County. Maybe a little bit of brake tapping on 40 westbound just before the US 1 interchange heading into Cary. Also looking better on 885 in Durham, both directions seeing just a 1 minute delay between I-40 and I-85. I want to give you a heads up about a weekend closure in Durham near downtown. Alston Avenue is going to be closed between Andrew Avenue and 147. This was a closure that was supposed to take place last weekend, but it's been postponed. They're going to try again this weekend. Scheduled to close tonight at 9 o'clock. It should reopen in time for Monday morning's commute. So if you're trying to get north of that closure on Alston Avenue, the detour takes you out to 147 and Fayetteville Street. From there, you can pick up Main Street and rejoin Alston Avenue on the other side.
Right now in the WRAL Live Center, we are tracking reaction to the big international story of the morning, the sudden death of Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny in a Russian prison. Now, Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky has said it is quite obvious quote, that Vladimir Putin was directly behind the death of Navalny. He's speaking in Germany. The Ukrainian leader says the Russian president does not care who dies so long as his position at the head of the state is secure. Also, U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan talking with NPR this morning, saying that if it's confirmed and given the Russian government's long and sordid history of doing harm to its opponents, it raises real and obvious questions about what happened. And also want to read you this post from the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, Rishi Sunak, saying this is terrible news. As the fiercest advocate for Russian democracy, Alexei Navalny demonstrated incredible courage throughout his life. We'll continue to monitor reaction here in the Live Center.
All right. Thanks, Renee. An FBI informant has been charged with making up a multi-million dollar bribery scheme involving Hunter Biden. The claim is a key point in the Republican impeachment inquiry into President Biden. Alexander Smirnov is charged with creating false records and lying about the Biden's involvement in business dealings with a Ukrainian energy company. Smirnov was arrested yesterday in Las Vegas. The charging document alleges the story told by Smirnov to federal investigators was fabricated. And the war between Israel and Hamas is causing a spike in the need for basic necessities. Families with young children are having a difficult time finding diapers and formula at affordable prices. A small diaper factory in Rafah is offering an affordable solution to a critical need in the region. Tailors make up to 500 diapers a day, but the operation is struggling to keep up with demand. The factory offers 40 diapers for 20 shekels, which is roughly $5.50.
In Ukraine, President Volodymyr Zelensky has signed a law legalizing medical marijuana. It'll be used to treat cancer and war-related PTSD. Medical marijuana will officially be legal in the country starting in July.
New research shows the effectiveness and safety of medication-based abortions are the same even if the patient gets the medicine through telehealth. A new study published on Thursday looked at the records of more than 6,000 medication abortions provided through telehealth. It found results were similar to those who went in person. The patients who chose the telehealth option were not required to undergo any testing or physical exam. Rather, a provider made the decision to prescribe medication based on their medical history.
Cases of Lyme disease are up in the United States. Health officials say the spike is due to a change in reporting requirements, not an explosion of new infections. The latest number out from the CDC yesterday shows reported cases jumped nearly 70% in 2022, an increase from roughly 37,000 cases per year to more than 62,000. Lyme disease is the most common tick-borne infection in the U.S. People infected typically experience fever, headache, and a skin rash. Two popular diabetes medications that are also used for weight loss got more expensive this year. Novo Nordisk increased the price of a month's supply of Ozempic by 3.5% when used for diabetes. The company said it is due to changes in the healthcare system and inflation. Meanwhile, Eli Lilly increased the price of its drug Mounjaro by 4.5% for a month's supply. Neither company increased the prices of drugs when used for weight loss, though.
Imagine watching a sports game where every player is on performance-enhancing drugs. It may seem like an out-of-this-world concept, but it could become a reality in the near future. Gary Bumgarten takes a closer look at what's behind the concept and why it's gaining traction.
With the countdown to the Summer Olympics on, a different kind of sporting event, one that will let athletes openly use performance-enhancing drugs, is also hoping to turn heads. Called the Enhanced Games, its president says it's time to let athletes maximize their potential with substances banned by the World Anti-Doping Agency.
44% of Olympians, according to the Olympics' own research, have used banned performance-enhancing drugs, yet only 1% get caught.
The Enhanced Games will start with individual athletes competing for their own personal glory in several core sports. Officials hope allowing people to use drugs will make the games more exciting to watch and even let athletes nearing retirement extend their careers.
This is exactly the promise of performance medicine technology, to enable athletes to regain those extra few years.
Finding people willing to compete, however, wasn't easy. But the tides are turning after retired world champion Australian swimmer James Magnussen said he would take performance-enhancing drugs to try and break a 50-meter sprint world record. The one condition? Magnuson will only do it for $1 million. Officials say all eligible athletes will be paid a base salary to compete in the enhanced games and will earn more money should they place first, second, or third. The games are aiming to start in December or around the middle of next year.
That was Gary Baumgarten reporting.
Today, a jersey retirement ceremony for Durham native and New Orleans Pelicans player Trey Murphy will happen at Cary Academy. Murphy played basketball at the school throughout his high school career, played in college at Rice and Virginia before being drafted to the NBA in 2021. The ceremony for that jersey retirement is happening today, 2 to 3 in the fitness center at Cary Academy. One of the biggest NASCAR races of the season is just one day, 18 hours away. Yeah, I'm counting it down. It's a Super Bowl of racing, the Daytona 500. It's Sunday, the iconic 500-mile NASCAR Cup Series race. Daytona International Speedway is the place. You can catch all the action on Fox 50. Coverage begins at 2:30 p.m.
A new partnership with Raleigh Police aims to reduce gang violence in the capital city. Still ahead, how the Justice Department intends to help get guns off the streets of Raleigh.
And as more people move to Cary, many who call the town home are being priced out of the housing market. We'll have a look at new steps from town leaders to provide more affordable housing options across that community.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good morning and happy Friday. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey. We are starting off a little warmer today than we were yesterday. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione has the forecast for today and our weekend, Anthony.
Yeah, a little bit warmer than where we were this time yesterday, but it's a little bit deceptive because we hit 69 degrees as a high temperature yesterday. We are not going to be that warm into the afternoon, but our morning is starting off a little bit warmer, or let's say 5 to 15 degrees warmer than where we were this time yesterday. What that translates to here, 46 in Raleigh, 46 in Durham, the actual air temperature 47 in Fayetteville. Really not much of a wind chill factor this morning. The winds are fairly calm for us and they should stay that way. We're at 59 this afternoon, 50s through the weekend, and then a stray chance of a shower, Brian, as we head into late tonight.
Anthony, I'm watching a few minor crashes around Raleigh this morning, but I've taken a look at the sensor data with these and I'm not seeing any significant backup. So that's some good news. And overall, our traffic volume is very light around the triangle with no big problem showing up anywhere in Wake, Durham, or Orange County. Take you out toward the airport. That's I-40 at Airport Boulevard. Traffic's flowing freely out there. Coming in from Raleigh on westbound I-40, no delays from Wade Avenue to the airport exits. 540 westbound's all clear through the north side of Raleigh. And if you're leaving Chapel Hill heading through South Durham out toward the airport on 40 eastbound. No delays out to Airport Boulevard.
Thanks, Brian. Today we're expecting Raleigh police to release the five-day report on a shooting on Rock Quarry Road. Police say they responded to a shots fired call around 10:30 Saturday night. We know an officer shot a man and three other people were also hurt. The man was taken to the hospital. It's unclear how the three others were injured. Next on Fox 50, why NC State is being forced to reopen its investigation into Poe Hall. And coming up next on Today, celebrating the 40th anniversary of Footloose.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We had a front move through this morning, and there's definitely some leftover cloud cover. It'll feel fairly like spring for us today, but how does the weekend shape up? We'll talk about that coming up.
Breaking news out of Russia this morning. Alexei Navalny, the top critic of President Vladimir Putin, has died in prison. What authorities say happened?
And today we'll learn more about what led up to a Raleigh police officer shooting a man over the weekend. What police reports are saying about the amount of 911 calls in that area.
Also, a verdict is expected in the former President Trump's civil trial, how much money the former president could pay out in penalties. A lot of news as we get our Friday going here as we head towards the weekend. 8:30 is the time. We bring you inside our WRL studio. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Anthony Baglioni was just talking about how we're a little warmer today than we were yesterday, but it's still chilly out there. You still need the jacket, right, Anthony?
Yeah, it's still a little bit chilly temperatures right now in the 40s, mainly for all of us. We have some clouds, too, that are just kind of making it seem a little bit drearier than what it could be with some sunshine peeking through. Good morning to all of you, though. Let's talk about what we're seeing. This is what we call our visible satellite imagery. It's kind of a fancy term for what we're seeing in the sky, what we can look at, the cloud cover. Now that the sun is up, it really helps to kind of light up this picture so we can see what's going on. Definitely a lot of clouds right there just around most of our viewing area. There's not any area that's completely sunny, if you will. We see the clouds showing up there. There's Lake Gaston, very calm, though. The water not bouncing around too much. That's going to be a factor for us today. The winds will be pretty calm, but temperatures are still a little bit cool. 46 here around the triangle, 41. That's it in Roxboro, 45 in Goldsboro. We were in the 30s in Rocky Mount. We've started to bump those temperatures up into the mid 40s right now. We'll keep a mix of clouds and maybe some peaks of sunshine through today. Temperatures, though, pretty comfortable. Upper 50s and low 60s, right about 62 there in Fayetteville. I do think, like I said, we'll see at least a little bit of sunshine trying to come on through. We'll talk about, though, the weekend. That does include more sunshine, Brian, here in a few minutes.
Anthony, here at 8:32, just getting reports of a crash, maybe two crashes in Rollsville. One reported on Main Street at Young Street, another on 401, the bypass there at Young Street. I'm not sure if this is the same crash just being dispatched to two different locations or if these are actually two separate crashes. But we'll watch that for you, let you know how it's looking. I've seen some data indicating some backups with both of those incidents. Elsewhere around Raleigh, we have a few minor crashes getting cleared up, including one at Glenwood at TW Alexander Drive, but I'm not seeing any big delays with those. And as we take a look at those major approaches into Durham right now, everything's moving along pretty well on I-40 in both directions through South Durham, also looking good on the north side of Durham on both sides of I-85. We'll head out to Knightdale for a live look at 87 at Hodge Road. Traffic heading away from us toward Raleigh on southbound 87, making pretty good time this morning from 64 Business to 440, seeing just a 1 minute delay overall.
Thanks, Brian. Breaking news, Alexei Navalny, the most outspoken Russian critic of President Vladimir Putin, has died in prison. The country's state media reported his death within the last hour. Navalny spent his final months behind bars after being convicted of extremism. Russia's prison service says he died today after he felt unwell on a walk and then lost consciousness. He was 47 years old.
And breaking news out of Goldsboro, we are working to learn why police were on the scene at Hollowell Street. This is video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker last night around 11:30 as investigators collected evidence there. You can see about a dozen shell casings on the ground of that apartment complex there. We are working to learn exactly what happened and if anyone was injured.
Today, the Raleigh Police Department is expected to release their five-day report on Saturday night's shooting on Rock Quarry Road. We know that an officer shot a man and three others were hurt. As WRL's Kelsey Coffey explains, police reports show there have been a lot of calls for service in that particular area.
Ridiculously out of control. That's how one neighbor describes crime in the area where that shooting happened. This Raleigh police station is less than 10 minutes away from there. Today, police will release a five-day report on that incident. This is video from the scene now. Raleigh police received a call about gunshots on Rock Quarry Road Saturday night. An officer saw a man with a gun in a parking lot when they started investigating. That officer shot the man. Police didn't provide a lot of details on exactly what led up to the shooting, but they say three more people were hurt at the scene. There has been an uptick in crime in this area. WRL data trackers looked at the numbers. Crime is up 2,700% over the past 5 years in this section of Rock Quarry Road. We'll find out more information about what led up to Saturday's shooting in today's report. We'll keep you updated when that's released. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News in Raleigh.
It was a somber night in Kansas City as people came together for a candlelight vigil to show their support for the victims of the Super Bowl parade shooting. 22 people suffered injuries in that shooting. One person was killed. Her name was Lisa Lopez Galvan. She was a popular DJ in the city. At least half of the victims are younger than 16, the youngest 8 years old. Investigators are still examining bullets and shell casings left behind at the scene of the shooting. They believe it started with a fight, and we know two teenagers are in custody, but as of this morning, no charges have been filed.
NC State Police are looking for a man who entered a campus library and said he had a gun in his backpack. It happened Tuesday. Staff was told about an older man who set off the metal detector at D.H. Hill Library. When stopped, he said he had a gun in his backpack. He then left and officers couldn't find him. He was wearing a cream-colored jacket. If you know anything about this, you should call NC State Police.
A new partnership between Raleigh Police and the Department of Justice will work to tackle crime in the city. Raleigh is one of only five cities selected for this program this year. It's called the National Public Safety Partnership, and the goal is to get guns off the streets and stop violence. The DOJ will provide intensive training in the areas of gun violence, investigations, and technology to identify strategies that target gun, drug, and gang violence. The executive director for Emancipate NC, Dawn Blagrove, says she has some reservations about the impact.
Raleigh Police Department has not a problem with training. It has a problem with culture.
Blagrove sent a letter to the Department of Justice last year seeking better practices from RPD officers. She says she's grateful the DOJ saw the concerns and took the letter seriously. Other cities in the partnership have reported reducing homicides and funding programs designed to help at-risk youth.
The Durham Public School Board is giving workers a greater voice in future decision-making. The board decided to develop a work group to iron out details of a meet and confer policy. This will include school board members, administration, members of the Durham Association of Educators, and some not represented by that organization. The board pressed the DAE on their sick outs over pay, leading to multiple days of canceled classes. Transportation support staff were supposed to speak at this work session, but walked out midway through, claiming the DAE does not represent them. Members will be appointed to the work group on February 22nd.
NC State is restarting its investigation into Poe Hall. Last week, 500 Side reported the university was no longer participating in a free, independent health investigation involving the discovery of PCBs in Poe Hall. We confirmed with the CDC the university asked for that investigation to be restarted. It'll look into a possible connection between PCBs and serious illnesses among people who spent time in that building.
This morning, Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis is expected to take the witness stand again in the misconduct hearing. Willis is the prosecutor overseeing the election interference case against Donald Trump in Georgia. The hearing focuses on her relationship with Nathan Wade, the prosecutor that she hired to lead the case. Former President Trump's attorneys argue that Willis should be disqualified and removed from the case, accusing her of benefiting financially from her relationship with Wade.
Also today, a verdict is expected in former President Donald Trump's civil fraud trial. He could be hit with millions of dollars in penalties in New York. Judge Arthur Engoron has already found Trump and his executives engaged in fraud. He now needs to decide on the issue of intent and what penalties Trump and his company should pay. It could be a $370 million fine and a lifetime ban from the real estate industry in New York. Trump has denied any wrongdoing.
New this morning in the WRAL Live Center, a congressional committee is issuing subpoenas to Harvard University. The committee is investigating anti-Semitism on campus, and it wants the Ivy League school to turn over documents lawmakers are seeking. This marks the first time this particular committee has ever issued a subpoena since it was founded in 1867. Representative Virginia Fox of North Carolina, she's the Republican chairwoman of the House Education Workforce Committee. She claims the university is obstructing the committee's investigation. In a statement this morning, she says, "It is my hope that these subpoenas serve as a wake-up call to Harvard that Congress will not tolerate anti-Semitic hate in its classrooms or on campus." Three different Harvard officials are being subpoenaed, including Harvard's interim president, and the subpoenas order those officials to turn over those documents by March 4th.
Thanks, Renee. The town of Cary is putting together a new program to help people who are forced out of their homes by redevelopment. Chatham Estates is one of those neighborhoods. 100 families are in danger of being displaced when the mobile home community is sold. Right now, the town is working with the nonprofit group Dorcas Ministries to create Stable Homes Cary. The program would cover the cost of relocating people when there's large-scale redevelopment. It would also expand services to help people find affordable housing and work toward becoming homeowners.
A controversial permission slip is drawing sharp criticism. Why some teachers in Florida say they're having trouble navigating Ron DeSantis' Stop Woke Act during Black History Month.
Plus, it's pretty clear that this wasn't the way one woman hoped her Valentine's Day would end. How police used a cuddly costume, though, to make this collar.
Welcome back on your Friday morning. This is a nice view of White Lake. A couple clouds in the sky there, but it's going to be a nice day to get out on the lake. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione has another live look over Pinehurst. A couple people taking advantage of the warmer weather this morning.
Yeah, I think a couple people out there right now and probably a lot of people enjoying it here later on today. It is a little bit cool, though, for us to start our morning. In fact, they do look like they have, you know, the sweatpants on, the sweatshirt. Other than that, you shouldn't need too much to keep yourself comfortable. We have the clouds in place. Not going to see much sunshine today, but some of that will come back, I think, this afternoon. Here's where we sit as far as our cloud cover is concerned. This is, again, what we call our visible satellite imagery. It's just that. It's basically when we look up in the atmosphere, now that the sun is up and kind of can illuminate everything, this is the reflection we're left with, and it shows us where the clouds are currently. There's a little bit of a band where you see that blacker color contour where we may have some clearing. Otherwise, all of that kind of darker, the grays, that's all cloud cover that we're seeing out there currently and will likely stick with us for a little bit. Temperatures across the board, mainly in the 40s. We had a cold front come through this morning. We're at 46 in Raleigh, 45 in Southern Pines. You notice all the blue, the darker color contours pushed back to our west. So that's where the colder weather is currently. And you just saw an update there too. We go through today on the whole, temperature is not going to be too bad. We're at 61 in Clinton, 62 in Fayetteville, 59 in Raleigh. It's actually a couple degrees warmer than where we should be for this time of the year. It is not going to come with any rainfall. Let's say maybe you're traveling to the mountains or something this evening, or just traveling out of the area, you will be just fine here as far as any weather issues. 59 for us today. We have a 30% chance, though, of some showers tonight and then 20% early tomorrow morning for our Saturday. I should put on there basically before about 8 a.m. and then the rest of the day is nice and dry. 52 on Sunday. No rainfall expected to close out the weekend. And then, of course, we have President's Day on Monday. It is also going to be dry. Let's time this out, though, that 30% chance you saw on the map right there. It is minor. You notice there is going to be some snowfall up toward West Virginia. They have some rainfall in that direction, some rain down toward Wilmington. We're right kind of in between two systems, if you will. There's midnight. Most of that heaviest moisture stays up to our north. Could be a little bit messy for a place like Washington, D.C., for instance. But then the rainfall comes on through 4 a.m. tomorrow morning. Very spotty coverage. It gets on out of here. And then the majority of our weekend, Sunday, the majority of Saturday, looking completely quiet. 59 for us today. We're at 51 on our Saturday, 52 Sunday. President's Day on Monday, a lot of sunshine at 59. And then we start to see those temperatures warm back up, guys, at 68 on Thursday with some more rainfall potentially coming in late Thursday night into Friday of next week.
Thanks, Anthony. Some parents of a student at a Miami school are upset and confused after the school asked them to sign permission slips for their kids so they could take part in a Black History Month activity. A parent of a student posted a photo of the form on social media, and it got more than 13 million views. It was reposted thousands of times. This permission slip for the event, which was held on Tuesday, said students would listen to a book written by an African-American. In a statement, the district said permission slips are required by state law when guest speakers participate in education-related activities. These slips come as the school districts and teachers across Florida try to navigate so-called parental rights laws.
Target is taking aim at budget-conscious shoppers with a new value brand. Dealworthy rolls out this month to shelves at Target stores nationwide and online. The brand will include 400 items, and most will cost less than $10, with the cheapest coming in at under a dollar. The inventory ranges from phone chargers to disposable plates, even underwear.
The start of the 20th century was a time when racial discrimination reached far beyond the political spectrum. Many Black theatergoers sought to escape from their reality. The Carolina Theater in Durham opened in 1926 as the Durham Auditorium. It was the only theater in town to admit African Americans, but the theater was still segregated. In 1962, Black patrons started a movement called Round Robin to try to change that. That included trying to buy tickets at the whites-only window and then getting back in line when they were turned away. Tonight at 5:55, hear from one of the men who was part of that movement and how it helped to usher in change in Durham. from an undie run for a good cause to an iconic rock group's return to PNC Arena. There's a lot to do this weekend in the Triangle.
There is. Let's start with the Raleigh Home Show, though, Jeff.
Mm-hmm. The Home Show returns to the Raleigh Convention Center this weekend. Special guest Clint Harp from Magnolia Network's Restoration Road will be there. The show opens this morning at 10 and it runs through Sunday. Tickets are $12 for adults and free for children under 13.
I love this. Cupid's Undie Run kicks off Saturday at Motorco Music Hall with drinking and dancing, and proceeds support those affected by NF, a group of genetic conditions that cause tumors to grow on nerves throughout the body.
And then tomorrow night, Journey will perform at PNC Arena. It's part of the legendary rock band's 30-city tour across North America for the band's 50th anniversary Freedom Tour. Toto, by the way, is the opening act.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. The Met Gala is 3 months again, is just 3 months away, and we are learning more about this year's event. Zendaya, Jennifer Lopez, Bad Bunny, and Chris Hemsworth are co-chairing the red carpet event with Vogue's Anna Wintour on May 6th. The Vogue announced on Instagram that the dress code for this year is the Garden of Time. Officials say they're expecting attendees will be inspired to wear fairy tale-like outfits, including moody florals. I can't wait. It's going to be beautiful.
Disney is also reviving an iconic 90s cartoon.
To me, my X-Men.
X-Men 97 is a direct sequel to the beloved X-Men the Animated Series. The show ran for 5 seasons from 1992 to 1997. X-Men 97 series picks up where the finale left off. The voiceover cast includes veterans of the original show and newcomers. It'll start streaming on Disney Plus March 20th. It's part of a big year for the X-Men, with Deadpool and Wolverine coming out in theaters this summer.
In more entertainment news, Jennifer Lopez makes an announcement. A billion-dollar movie franchise is being turned into tourist attractions and more.
Here's Ashley Dvorkin with all the latest in the Hollywood Nation.
Saying goodbyes.
Saying hello.
John Wick heads to Sin City, the Hargreaves return, and J-Lo sets her summer plans in the Hollywood Nation. You know I can't get enough. Jennifer Lopez hits the road this summer for her This Is Me Now, the tour. The 34-city trek, kicking off in Orlando, Florida, June 26th, marks Lopez's return to the touring stage after a 5-year break following her 2019 tour. She will perform her hits as well as songs off her new album, This Is Me Now.
How long do we have?
4, maybe 5 days before the rest of existence is blitzed.
The Hargreaves siblings are coming back for one last superpowered adventure. Netflix announced the 4th and final season of The Umbrella Academy premieres August 8th. Joining the main cast for the last 6 episodes is real-life married couple Nick Offerman and Megan Mullally, who will play a married pair of community college professors suffering from extreme deja vu.
We're CIA. Strap in.
HBO released a new trailer and announced the premiere date for the espionage thriller and cross-culture satire, The Sympathizer. Debuting on Max April 14th, the limited series centers on a half-French, half-Vietnamese communist spy who creates a new life as a refugee in Los Angeles, where he learns his spying days are not over. The show stars Robert Downey Jr. playing multiple characters alongside Sandra Oh and Hua Shande.
You're going to die.
Maybe not.
And the John Wick Experience is coming to Las Vegas. The 12,000-square-foot tourist attraction will feature immersive and interactive missions, a themed bar, and retail shop. It will open on the Area 15 campus later this year.
Please pray for me.
Ashley Dvorkin reporting. J-Lo's tour will be at PNC Arena in Raleigh Saturday, August 24th.
Police used an unorthodox costume and a form of Valentine's flattery to pull off an elaborate drug bust in Peru. Jeff, the whole thing was caught on camera.
Yeah, here it is. Police dressed an officer as a teddy bear on the eve of Valentine's Day, armed him with some balloons and gifts, and tried to coax a female drug suspect out of her home. Teddy bear tactic worked. And as that flattered female emerged, the squad moved in, made a pair of arrests, and seized a reported large cache of illegal substances. Exactly. Surprise. Before we head off to break, winning NC Education lottery numbers, and we'll get another check on weather and traffic for you coming up next.